No, 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 no. Don't press record, whatever you do.
Trying to steer me wrong on my own hit show. This is Don't Ask Tig. I'm Tig Notaro. And here you are asking.
We are not alone.
Here to help me with my very first episode ever offering advice is my closest friend in the entire world, Will Ferrell.
Dear, dear friends.
Did you know that you held that title?
I had heard from a number of people around town.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, do you know that comedian Tig Notaro? And I'm like, yeah, sure. It's like, you know, she refers to you as her best friend in the whole world. And I would say, oh, that's funny. And like, no, it's a serious thing. She literally says, you know, Will Ferrell's my best friend.
It was my plan because I knew it would make you feel like you had to do the show.
Yeah, well, it worked.
Now, Will, do you have any advice for me as the host of this podcast, this brand new podcast, or just even life advice? In general?
As host of a podcast, I mean, always check your equipment.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right?
Right.
I mean, that's a given.
You want to make sure you're recording.
Yeah. You know, the basics. And like life advice, well, and it's kind of driving me a little crazy right now because I can't do it, but go to the dentist. Go to the dentist. They recommend once every 6 months, so twice a year,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
But I actually go 3 times a year. I go every 4 months and also floss.
I do floss.
Yeah, you can really, it's just better for gum health and things like that. I also am paid $100,000 a year by the American Dental Association to...
Is that where you get all your money?
That's what I pretty much live.
You're living off of that.
Because I've blown all the movie money like 10 times over. So, yeah. So without the ADA, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
My God. Well, thank you for that advice. So you're saying as far as advice podcasts, I should record them. And then general life advice, go to the dentist 3 times a year and floss twice a day? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Do you like hearing people give advice or do you like giving advice? Or
I usually don't feel like I have great advice to give.
Great.
But no, I love hearing advice. I do. I think it's a good thing. Do you find yourself, do you give unsolicited advice?
No. I did one time in my mid-20s, and I really...
To a stranger?
To a good friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
And I really offended her. It was about somebody she was dating, and I think it wasn't my place, and I think I also was 25 and not editing myself well. And
yeah.
I think we maybe didn't talk for like 5 years.
Whoa.
I think I didn't handle things well.
So that's, I mean, you learn from that and you're like, yeah.
Yeah. And then you start an advice podcast. But I love giving genuine advice that could potentially, I love helping people. I feel like I have a really wonderful life. And if anything sure. I've been through can be of help to somebody, I really want to help.
And so be it.
And yep. I also love nonsense.
Yeah.
So I like to throw that in too.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's why I'm here, in case you're like, why?
I feel like the advice, another piece of advice I would give, but I don't know how to do it, is learn basic mechanics on your car.
Really? Can you do anything basic on a car?
Well, now they've become so complicated.
Right. Unless it's like a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Bug.
But
I
would. I actually did. I would change the oil on my bug, and I learned how to change the tire.
Oh, you did?
So that's pretty good.
You do drive a bug.
Not anymore.
Wouldn't that be amazing if Will Ferrell...
If I still had my 1969...
No, what would be more amazing is if you drove one of the newer Volkswagen bugs and you put one of those flowers in the little flower thing. And that's what you...
A big sunflower. Yeah.
Will.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. I didn't realize how much I wanted you...
In a bug?
In a brand new Volkswagen bug.
With the flower on the holder.
Yes.
And so proud of it, too. Always showing people it all. Yeah.
Always honking when you pull up.
Bip, bip.
Yeah. That's a good...
Hey.
Are you known for your sound effects?
That
was good.
Oh, yeah. I started as a Foley artist. You know that, though.
I do know that. The hell's going on, Will?
Here.
Oh, is that moving around in a bathtub?
No, no, this is walking through the forest on a bed of leaves.
Do you want to hear my sound effect that I'm very well known for?
Please. A clown horn.
Correct. Correct. Walking through the forest, honking a clown horn.
With a clown horn. Yep. Done.
Well, before we get into the questions, I'm curious if there's a time in your life that really sticks out where you felt like you needed advice the most.
Probably one of the bigger, moments was deciding, because I had gone to college. I had, you know, studied journalism, sports journalism. That's what I thought I was going to do. That was going to be kind of the real job in my brain, mm-hmm. was to go be a sportscaster. And then I thought, you know what, I'm gonna try to go for this comedy thing. You know, I'd been performing at the Groundlings, which is a sketch and improv theater company in Los Angeles, and it was going well. And I had lunch with my father, and I was like, "Hey, I think I'm going to give this a shot. I don't know what that means exactly." And he said, "I go, what's your advice?" He's like, "You know what? If it was based solely on talent, I wouldn't worry about you. But there's just a lot of luck, and so just." Give it a period of time where you want to try it. And if you don't get to the point where you want to be, it's okay to quit and just try something else. And which I think he had the same experience as a struggling musician, mm-hmm. where he was just getting tired and exasperated of trying to make ends meet. And he really wanted to just hang it up. But there was nothing else he was trained to do, or he probably felt too scared to go back to school or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So he was just stuck playing music. And so he was like, so just know that it's, so it was like the anti-pep talk.
Yeah.
It was just like, just know it's really hard. and for whatever reason, I didn't take that as like, come on, you got to have my back. I was just like, yeah, you're right. So he basically gave me permission to fail.
Mm.
And that was like the greatest advice of all.
Well, it sounds like it was also grounded in reality, his advice, which is you can't really argue with.
It also gave me kind of this outsider's approach to it,
mm-hmm.
where I felt like I've snuck into this party that I'm going to get kicked out of at any moment, so I might as well just have a great time. And it's kind of why. I just remember some of the first couple shows on Saturday Night Live. I got these horrible reviews that they were so bad that they literally just made me laugh, and I would just tape them up on my office wall. And people were like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yes. Have you read this? It's fantastic."
That was my first big turning point in stand-up was when I, in my first few months, I did a coffee shop and I bombed so yeah. hard. And my friend had brought his video camera to film my set for me. And the only right. laughter was my friend laughing hysterically and the camera shaking from how hard he was laughing. Because nobody was even cracking a smile. And I rode my bike home to my studio apartment like I was in love for the first time. There was something yeah. so freeing and fun about bombing that hard and seeing that I lived through it.
Oh, I don't know why. I don't know why those things are just... I guess it's that holding your hand over the flame that's so weird and funny.
Weird, funny, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
All of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I could spend the rest of my life sharing those stories. I know.
Yes. Yes.
Do you want to solve some people's problems now?
Sure. Sure.
All right. Well, let's get started, Will.
Okay. Is there music? Do we have to wait for a music cue?
Well, they do like that in post-production.
Oh, great.
Yeah. You're familiar with the business, right?
I love post.
Yeah. First up, we have Dana. Dana writes, I can't stop taking out all my anger and frustration on my husband. We have a 2.5-year-old who has taken over our lives, and I manage to be patient with him, but I unload on my husband. He's a wonderful partner who does the majority of the housework and takes care of our son while I work full time. What can I do to stop being so frustrated? Now, I'm just going to say right away, unless you have something you want to say.
I mean, it sounds like she has a very loving, patient partner there. But maybe there are pressures of her job that we don't know about. But otherwise, I think Dana needs to chill out.
Well,
right?
Quite possibly. I think it's more complicated than chilling out. What I think needs to happen, it sounds like they're busy people. You know, a 2-year-old takes a lot of time,
yep.
a full-time job, plus you're just a
sure.
human on the planet. That's busy. And then you're
That's
married.
So they need to create some alone time for each
so.
Other?
I think so. I think it's important to just, however you get it, to connect and really look into each other's eyes. And I know that there's moments that Stephanie and I have gone through frustrating experiences. And when you just shut out the rest of the world, if it's at, you know, right before bedtime or right as you're getting up, but to really put your phone away, don't watch a movie, don't do anything, just look at each other's faces and connect. That's what I think. And you need to make sure, are you happy with the fact that your husband is the stay-at-home parent? Are you happy being the full-time breadwinner? And just make sure there's not some sort of resentment that you're not in touch with.
Yeah.
Or you could just go with what Will said, which was just chill out.
I wonder if you should reach out to Dana personally.
I'll swing by her house.
I was going to say, you and Stephanie can watch the 2-year-old
uh-huh.
for like a weekend and let them have like a long weekend together.
And then do you mind coming over and watching our 4-year-old twins while we go to Dana's house?
Oh.
See? And take your time. Dead air on the podcast is solid. Yeah, think it through.
Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Twins, right?
Yes.
Oof. Yeah. No, I don't think I can come by.
Okay, so I'm not going to be able to go by Dana's house.
Okay. All right. Never mind.
But do you agree with me or not? These people.
I think you're right. Yeah, they need to, assess what's happening.
Take a walk.
Just take a walk.
Look into your person's face.
Right. Right.
All right. Well, thanks for your question, Dana. We have to take a quick.
Thanks, Dana.
Dana, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you so much, Dana. That was the first question on the first episode with my first guest. So thank you so much for taking that leap, Dana.
Dana, you will look back on this moment 20 years from now when you and your husband are celebrating your 20th anniversary. You'll go, that was the moment that we figured it out.
And that Tig and Will really thanked me. So thank you, Dana. We do have to take a quick break here, but we're going to be back with some more problems and some advice you should not take.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
I just feel like we are surrounded in this world by bullshit.
So how can you know what's real and what's not? Science passes. That's how. We answer questions like, does anti-aging skincare actually work? And what is your true personality type? And to answer these questions, we don't use opinions. We dive into the scientific studies, talk to the experts, and put it in a podcast that I know you are gonna love. Listen to Science Versus on Spotify.
Okay, we're back. This next question is really not one you should get outside help with. But you asked, so we're going to answer. Justin writes, how should I propose to my girlfriend?
Whoa.
I can't emphasize enough how much I think the best way to propose to somebody is with a flash mob. Okay, that's the way to show that you really love someone.
Yep.
And especially during a pandemic, if you get hundreds of people to quarantine for 2 weeks and take tests,
yep.
shoving a Q-tip in your nose.
A pipe cleaner. My doctor uses a pipe cleaner. Should I switch doctors?
Whatever it is. Is it your dentist? Yeah. I don't know. But this is true love. If hundreds of people quarantine and then learn a synchronized dance,
Nothing says I love you. Some fun dance moves that spontaneously happened that took months to plan.
And you had to clear out an area of a neighborhood for everyone's safety.
Right.
That's my suggestion.
Well, that's your suggestion.
Yeah. Suggestion because I stand behind it. I feel like it's the only way to really prove your love.
I would say I would say the best way to propose is just a classy seafood dinner.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
A nice piece of fish.
Mm.
Maybe in a broth. And
you're going straight to lobster.
Done deal. So romantic.
Because I'm over here being sarcastic. For those
everyone
that don't
loves
understand.
The ocean and the sea, and it's exciting and it's good for you too. It's heart healthy. I'd also say do not, and you wouldn't be able to do this anyway, but don't propose at a sporting event on the Jumbotron.
Oh. Yes. Yes.
Because if the person says no, which we've all seen, you're in front of thousands of people. But that's not even an option right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Unless you get an entire stadium to quarantine.
Once again, quarantine, the planning. Yeah. The pipe cleaner up the nose.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Justin, while we don't recommend it, feel free to use any of our answers. Just make sure to give us credit, please, sir. Now, for the next question, I'm going to put you on the spot, Will.
Uh-huh.
You're going to need to answer for all men. And Dee Dee writes, why do men not take care of their bodies? I don't mean grooming or even exercise. I'm talking real aches and pains that need a doctor's attention. How do we get the people we care about to take care of themselves? Will?
Yeah, great question. I think we're a little bit stubborn in that sense that it's going to go away. I don't need to see the doctor. And probably we're afraid of doctors at the end of the day.
Why?
I don't know.
Are you scared of doctors? Do you keep up? No. You really take care of your teeth, but you just let the rest of your body go?
I don't have a problem going to the doctor. In fact, I really enjoy going to my yearly physical.
No.
I mean, I don't mind it. I just feel like there's peace of mind, right?
But you don't actually go to a doctor's office, do you?
Sure. Yeah. I sit in the waiting room. I go, yeah.
You don't have like your own doctor that comes to your house?
No. What?
I don't know.
I'm not like Howard Hughes.
I don't know. I don't know.
No. I go. I get in a car and I drive to the doctor.
That is precious.
I won't give a urine sample though.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I draw the line.
You do when no one asks for one. You're handing them out left and right.
Right. I am.
At the dentist.
I always bring a supply.
Yeah. Before you even ask, here you go. Here's my urine.
Yeah.
Here's a stool sample.
If you want any sort of sample, don't ask for it. You'll get it. You got to play it cool with me. But if you beg me for it, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to placate you.
Yeah. I'm glad that you do take care of yourself, Will.
But yeah, I don't understand. I don't know what my advice would be. I think maybe just kind of say, why is this a problem? Why can't you just listen to your body and take care of yourself? Because even if you don't care about yourself, don't you care about me? And by taking care of you, you're taking care of me.
That's a really good point.
Something like that,
and
right?
I tell people that all the time, because when you don't take care of yourself, when you really neglect your health, you're going to depend on other people financially.
On someone else.
Somebody's going to have to move. You might have to move into someone's house. Somebody's going to have to drive over and do all sorts of stuff.
Of various things. Yeah.
So take care of yourself.
Care.
Not just the teeth, everything.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that just upsets me. Thanks for writing in, Dee Dee.
That put you in a state.
You really did, but I still want to go back and thank Sarah. Was that it? No, Dana.
No, Dana.
Oh, I can't thank Dana enough. Even though I thank Dee Dee, we can't ever forget you, Dana.
I think every episode you need to thank Dana just at the top and then get into the new people.
Right. Right.
For each episode of your podcast. Always thank Dana.
Thank you, Dana. The final question veers back into wedding territory, but it's even messier, Will.
Oh, geez.
Melissa writes, I'm getting married this fall, and we're keeping it to just 20 people due to the pandemic. Here's my problem. I come from divorced parents who can't stand each other. My stepmother behaved hideously at my sister's wedding, and my dad is likely to sulk and be rude. Is there a way to not invite them without them finding out? What would you do?
I would just say, it sounds like there's two paths. There is confronting both sides of the parents and saying, the last time we were all together, you behaved like children, and I don't want to risk it. And we're adults, and this is how I'm going to do my wedding. And I'm sorry, but you're not invited.
Yep.
That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Or number two, hey, I would love to have you guys come to my wedding, but you can't pull the crap you guys did the last time. And I need your solemn promise that you're not going to do that. And if you can't really give a commitment, then you're not coming.
I think both are solid options. I very last minute just came up with an idea that I think might be brilliant while you were talking.
Sure.
And if we know me, it's probably going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
If you do feel like you're dealing with three big babies, have the wedding, don't tell them, and then have a fake wedding after. That's even fewer people.
With a flash mob that performs?
Yeah, with an entire stadium. No, have just your parents and let everyone be big babies. And it's not even really your wedding. You already got married behind their back.
Right, and then, it's already done.
Yeah, just invite all the babies. Let them come in their diapers and their have their rattles in their hands and their bibs on. And let them just be babies. And take pictures and video of them being big babies at your fake wedding.
Okay, what if your partner is like, no, we're not doing that?
Why wouldn't
that's
someone...
That's crazy talk.
Oh my gosh. Well, then you can't marry this person. You got to be a united front.
Sure. In theory.
Yeah.
But this person might be like, wait, so we're going to pay for a whole nother thing, like a fake thing
just to
appease the babies?
It's going to be low rent. It's going to be low rent. And you have the big babies show up, and then you have make sure everyone takes a picture and videotapes them being big babies, and then you get the pictures framed. You get the pictures framed of them being big babies.
Yep, I got it.
And they have to see how pathetic.
But what happens when...
I have to go, Will. I don't have time.
What? No, 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 no,
no. I'm so worked up about this.
But what happens when you get a cross wedding number, real wedding, right? The original 20.
Yeah.
Intersect with the big babies like a couple years down the road, and they were like, oh, well, we were at their wedding. You're like, no, you weren't.
Yeah, okay, then here's what you do. You have your real 20-person wedding, then you have the big baby wedding, and then you tell everyone at the big baby wedding that you're going...
Big baby wedding. Was Big Baby Wedding a movie, by the way, already?
No.
Was that... Did you do a voiceover on Big Baby Wedding? I thought you did.
So you have pandemic 20-person wedding, then you have big baby wedding.
Big baby,
then you tell all the big babies that you're going to have a fake 20-person pandemic wedding after the big baby wedding. So you have three weddings.
Okay. Yep.
And so people, big babies, when they hear about the other weddings, they'll be like, they weren't at the wedding.
Speaking of which, weddings are fascinating, though, aren't they? It brings out baby tendencies in a lot of people you invite. It can.
It can. We didn't experience that.
Did you face that? No. Okay.
No.
Okay. Well, see, so you avoided the big babies. There were no big babies.
There were no big babies, and not on Stephanie's side. We didn't have any. We had only actual babies at our wedding, and they even behaved themselves.
Just from the community.
Yeah, we invited all the community babies. And as we were walking from the public beach back to my cousin's house to celebrate, all the neighbors came out and were cheering us on as we were 350 people walked to my cousin's house. And I told Stephanie...
Wait, 350?
Yeah, 350 people.
Wow, you guys had a full-on party.
And they all came in from East and West Coast.
That's amazing.
To small town Mississippi.
That's amazing.
And so all these people were coming out of their house going, woo, you know, and I turned to Stephanie
amazing.
And I said, they probably think I'm a man.
Just so you know.
Yeah, because she was just like, this is so incredible. And I said, it is, but they probably.
But just so you know.
Yeah, they probably think I'm a man.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, especially if I had worn the tie. I didn't even wear the tie. But
so pick up your pace. We got to walk a little faster. Yeah.
And that's it for listener questions. But before I let you go, Will, we have one more issue to tackle. We have a question from 80 years ago.
Oh,
and I want to see if you and I can be more helpful than they were back then. This is advice of yesteryear.
When Jerry brags about taking Ginny out, he learns that she dates all the boys.
So, as we see now, menstruation is just one routine step in a normal and natural cycle.
How do you choose a date? Well, one thing you can consider is looks.
I did everything you said, but my boss still hasn't asked me to lunch.
This question comes from a 1941 Teen Topics advice column.
Okay.
Dear Miss Parker, I'm a young fellow of 18, and I am deeply interested in a girl we'll call Anne. But she is used to being squired in fancy style. Movies at least twice a week.
Whoa.
And smart snack places afterward. I am financially unable to entertain her on such a scale. I have to help provide for my family, and it is therefore impossible for me to take her out so often. Please advise me what to do. C.
Wow.
The letter C.
Oh, C. Yeah.
Well, wanting to remain anonymous, especially decades after their death, I'm sure.
Yes. And making sure that he didn't divulge the name of the woman either, Anne.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's the original answer. Why not get 3 to 4 boyfriends, all with financial families, to pool their resources and have a little party? Let the host be the boy with the largest living room and the most congenial and understanding family. Get some ice cream, cupcakes, or pretzel sticks, ginger ale, or hot chocolate. These refreshments will not set you back very much, and you'll all have fun.
That doesn't seem very helpful to the guy.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have any cash. He's supporting, helping support the family. Yeah. So he's like, really.
But it doesn't give him any one-on-one time with Anne, really.
No, but I mean, after he fills her with hot chocolate and pretzel sticks.
Chocolate and pretzel sticks.
I think she's definitely going to want to spend some time with this guy. I mean,
she's going to be knocked off her feet.
Absolutely. I mean, when did people stop talking like this? I'm a young fellow of 18. and an 18-year-old to know what squired in fancy style.
Yeah, I don't know. God, I know. We've lost our ability with language.
We've lost everything.
Yeah.
Do you have any other advice for him? A young fellow of 18, deeply interested in a girl he'd call Anne? She's used to fancy style, and he just doesn't have cash.
I know, fancy style.
He doesn't have cash.
Movies, 2 nights a week.
And not just that, but smart snack places.
Well, I said it once earlier, I'll say it again. There's, you know, nothing like an inexpensive romantic fish dinner.
Inexpensive.
The fish dinner at a seafood restaurant.
So that's your advice, just...
Yeah.
Do you know how I won Stephanie over and then we can get out of this?
Darts?
No.
Dart throwing?
No.
Okay.
Stephanie had never kissed a girl before, and we shared a kiss.
Right.
And we had so much fun hanging out.
Yep.
And the next day, she wrote me this 5-page long email about how she's never kissed a girl. She doesn't see herself with a girl, but she went into detail of how much she enjoys my time and she just really went into it, Will.
Yeah. Yeah.
I replied, "Okay, Dyke." That's the only thing I wrote to that long email. And she said when she got that, she laughed so hard that she kind of couldn't say no.
She was like, game over. Yeah.
And now we're going on to 8 years, so.
See?
Yeah.
Simplicity.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, there you go.
Good stuff.
Thank you so much for being here, Will. I know this is not...
No.
It's not
my pleasure.
Your career high.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I just want to thank Dana, though, for hanging in there.
Too.
Yeah, for hanging in there. For the whole podcast.
Dana's really been the backbone.
Oh my gosh. When I think of Dana, I start to well up just to everything she's been through. And so, anyway.
Will, you know what people might not know? And I don't know if we talk about it here, but we're doing a movie together.
I know.
Down the line.
Down the line.
Yeah. We don't have to go into specifics.
Yeah, we don't have to get all crazy, but at some point we're going to be doing a movie, and it's going to be...
where we're acting in a movie together. and here's a curveball. I'm the star and you're not.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. No, we didn't see that coming.
And you have a new Netflix movie coming out, Eurovision, right?
It's out. It's out there. It's people are watching it and enjoying it. It's great. It's been so much fun to see the reaction. It's good times. Dana's seen it like 5 times.
She goes so far.
She knows all the songs and she's just great.
Well, I just want to encourage everyone to go see Eurovision and on their television.
Yes.
So send your questions to don'tasktig.org, and we might try to answer them on a future episode. You can write down your question, or you can send it to us as a voice memo, which is very cool. Thank you again, Will, and watch Eurovision. Thanks, Dana.
Thanks, Dana. Bye.
Don't Ask Tig is hosted by me, Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, Mary Knopf, and Tracy Mumford. Our editor is Phyllis Fletcher, executive producer Lauren D, engineering and sound mixing by Eric Romani, digital production by Christina Lopez. Our theme music is by Edie Brickell and Kyle Crusham. Executive consultant, Dean Capello. Special thanks to Lily Kim, Alex Schaffert, Hunter Seidman, and Gobsmack Company Studios. You can always ask for advice at don'tasktig.org. Just write in with your problem or send us a voice memo. You can also follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Don't Ask Tig. Don't Ask Tig is a production of American Public Media. Hi, I'm stand-up comedian and sex symbol Tig Notaro.
And I'm actor and writer Cheryl Hines.
Before Cheryl and I got into the big business of podcasting together, we were just simply friends.
And we're still friends. But now we talk about a different documentary every week on our podcast, Tig and Cheryl, True Story. So whether you love documentaries or just want to hear us slowly lose our minds, check out Tig and Cheryl, True Story, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, cool.